Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. I thought we'd talk about this morning when the weather changes. When the weather changes. Now, Matthew chapter 7 kind of talks about some different things that going on as a kind of a parable on how we should trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have Him as our Savior. But we're going to bring out some things that we can use to overcome the devil in our times of struggles when the weather changes. And the weather's always changing. You can just live around here for a little while, figure that out. But in our own life, it changes all the time. Matthew chapter 7 has just a couple of verses. I'm not going to read that whole parable to you, but just start in verse number 24 and 25. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," that's the word of God, "doth and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." The rock is always Jesus Christ. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And any time you base your salvation on Jesus Christ only, you're built upon that rock, and nothing is going to wash away that salvation. And verse number 25 says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon a house, and it fell not." Let's talk about just during these weather changes, three tools that we can use that's going to help us. Well, actually, I'm going to rephrase that because I wrote it opposite. It's three tools that the devil uses against us during our times of trouble and our storms. And we need to be aware of those things so that we can know what he's doing in our life and realize it's him. It's not God messing everything up. It's Satan that's messing everything up, trying to get us off track. And if we allow him to get us off track, we'll fall. But God tells us if we have our trust in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what happens to us. We're built upon and founded upon that rock, which will not be moved. And that first tool that the devil uses against us, it talks about this in here, "and the rain descended." Now, you know, here in Texas and probably the other places you may have lived, sometimes when the rain falls, now, it's different. And I just thought about that. When I was in Oregon, the rain falls differently than it does here because you're right there by the coast. And when the rain comes in, it's just it could be a solid rain, but it's just a rain. You seldom ever hear a thunderstorm or lightning because you're just too close to the coast when it first hits. It doesn't have time. The atmosphere doesn't have time to get excited. And so it doesn't. It just rains. It just has a constant rain there. It's just not big drops, small drops. Just kind of a same thing all over again. But here, it can change in a matter of moments. You don't know if it's going to be a light rain, a drizzle, or a heavy downpour. And sometimes your yard can have cracks like you had 16 earthquakes out there. And you can see down to hell down there. If you look, you can see all the way down to hell. The cracks are so big. And then when it rains so much that it fills up on the cracks, fills them up, and it all turns to mush and mud. And then you're stuck. And you didn't know what was going to happen. But sometimes when the rain falls, it can be a small little trickle, and it can be a downpour, but you still get wet. I remember one guy, they did one of these experiments on one of these programs on TV. I forgot, Mythbusters, I think it was, a long time ago. And how does it matter if you walk in the rain or run in the rain? Does it matter if you still get soaked the same or not? And they did this experiment, and it had this guy doing a quick walk through, and then he changed his clothes, had the same clothes on, then he ran through. And what they found out was you get the same amount of soaking in your clothes whether you run or walk. Because when you walk, it's just hitting you down here and coming down this way. When you run, it's hitting you this way. And so you're still getting wet. You're still getting the same amount of wetness no matter if you run or walk. But the difference is when it rains, Satan tries to use discouragement against us. And when discouragement is against us as a Christian, we know we can trust God. But when Satan brings that discouragement, it doesn't matter if it's a little trickle of rain or a heavy downpour, you're still getting wet. It doesn't matter if you try to run away or walk away, you're still going to get wet because when Satan brings discouragement, he's going to affect you so that you won't understand and believe and trust in the Lord like you should through your situation when the weather changes. It can come down upon you. Before you know it, you're being soaked, and it can fall hard. It can be quick. and it can completely devour your clothes and you. And we know that when discouragement comes, we thought, well, it just started in my mind. You got a little bit. No, you got a little bit wet on top. No, it continued to fall until you are just completely soaked. And Satan will soak you in discouragement if you're not careful. David, one time in 2 Samuel in his life, when he was just with his soldiers and his men, and they weren't able to he wasn't able to be king yet, and he was just being around, and they're fighting some battles and so forth. They're out in the wilderness, and he had some family with him, and his men had their family with him and so forth. Well, they took off to some battle they shouldn't have been involved in anyway. And when he came back, he found out someone from the south came up and picked his whole family up, all his belongings, all the kids and everything, and took them away captive. And when he was there, he was very discouraged. And the men were so discouraged, they were going to kill David because he was a leader, and his fault that their families and their goods got taken. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He got before the Lord on his knees and started praying and coming to the God that he knew that he could trust in his time of situation and difficulties. And he came to him, and God gave him victory. But it wasn't until he came to Jesus, came to the Lord, and asked what he should do and how should he get out of this, that he got an answer from the Lord. And sometimes when you get discouraged and Satan's trying to use that against you, and you feel yourself getting soaked in discouragement, you don't know what to do, you feel so down, why don't you get on your knees, turn to God, and ask him what he'd have you do? Because he has the right answer. Satan doesn't. He wants you to stay discouraged. But how are you going to stand during a time of rain when it comes to your life? The only way we're going to do it is just to believe God and his promises. Satan uses discouragement or rain. And it says when the rains descended, and then it says, and the floods came. Well, San Antonio knows all about floods. And all of y'all that live right back behind the church here, I know about floods too, because there's low crossings on each side of the road. They did that on purpose to trap you, right? You knew that when you bought the property, that if it rained a lot and you got in, you weren't getting out. If you're out, you weren't getting in. There just wasn't any way. There wasn't any other road. There's no other road. You're stuck. And when it starts to rain hard enough, that discouragement also could come along with some deception. And Satan will bring that deception. Now, rain comes down upon you. Floods come up upon you. And so when it continues to rain, you continue to get soaked. Those floodwaters of discouragement rain of discouragement comes down, and then it starts to build up in your life, and now all of a sudden you got some deception as well. And deception will talk to you and say, well, you don't need to believe God. Don't you have the answer for this? Don't you have a way out of this? Your spouse doesn't even understand you. That's why you're so discouraged right now. You can just leave them right now. You can find a better life. You don't need that. And Satan will start deceiving you through the floods, because floods creep in slowly and gradually. Have you ever found a flood that just came down like a rain? No, the rain has to fall first. And when it falls long enough, then it starts to get a little bit higher, a little bit higher. You're thinking, is it going to come up in the house? Is it going to come up in the house? I think it's going to come up in the house. And you may try to take care of all that situation yourself and put sandbags down, do whatever you want. But there's only one way to get around that. It creeps up. You know, when Eve was in the garden, and she messed everything up for everybody, by the way. And so, hey, you don't like your role in life, take it up with God. But he started it all. And when she took of the apple, that's what the Bible says in the New Testament. She was the one that got deceived. She took of the apple, and we all had to pay for that. But it came upon hers subtly, because as I said about the serpent, about Satan, he is a subtle creature. He came upon him just creeping in and deceived her using what? The word of God. Gave her a little bit of word. Did God say you're going to die? No, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're going to be all right. You're going to understand everything. And Satan has a way of bringing discouragement and deception in our life, and he uses the floods to bring that deception. You know, we have three enemies in this world, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And when the flesh is getting deceived, it can come up as a flood upon you, and all of a sudden you think that the flesh will tell you, you need it. You got to have it. You need another woman. You need another man. You need another place. You need another boat. You need another house. You need to spend your money on other stuff other than supporting missionaries. And why don't you spend it on yourself for a change? You need it. Your flesh says you need it. You need satisfaction now. You need satisfaction right now, not yesterday. You need to call the Texas Hammer right now. The devil says, I'm going to bring deception in your life. It's going to creep up on you like a flood. And it's going to start with your flesh. He's going to say, I need it. I need it. I need it. And the Bible tells us you need to be content, content, content. You got to be content with what you have. But then he uses the world against us. And he said, the world comes up as a flood. And the world says, not you need it, but the world says, you deserve it. You deserve it. You're a much better person than that. You deserve another spouse. You deserve another boat. You deserve another house. You deserve to have more than you got. You deserve what the company that you work for is not getting you. And if they're not going to give it to you, you're just going to go ahead and take it because you deserve it. And the Bible tells us completely opposite of that. We cannot trust in things that are going to rust and corrupt. They're all going to be gone one day. We got to trust in the Lord. Satan will use the floods of deceptions and tell you that you need it, you deserve it. But the devil comes to you also and says, you know what? You can be more than you are. You can be somebody in this world if you wanted to be somebody in this world. You could be the best, most popular person and most popular person. If you just allow me to show you the way, I can show you how you can really prosper in this world. Satan's all about prospering. When he came to Jesus, what did he do? He offered him the whole world if he just bowed down before him. He offered him all the riches because Satan's always about making you think you're somebody when it's really he that wants to be somebody. And that's why he's in the problem he's in today, because he wanted to be God. And he's going to use that same logic against you and you bring that deception and say, you can be somebody if you'll just leave this junk behind. Stop making yourself humble and stop trying to serve others. Why don't you serve yourself for a change? Why don't you lift yourself up for a change? Why don't you exalt yourself up for a change? That's what Satan wants, but God always wants the opposite. God's going to exalt those things that are base and bring those things down that are exalted. That's what God does. But floods are deception that creeps up on you. Little by little, it's coming in. It's coming in. Your flesh, the world, the devil begins to lie to you. You're thinking, how am I going to stand during a flood? You got to know God and his word. You got to know the Lord and what it says. The more you know God, the more you can image him in your life. Because you know him. Do you know God well enough to realize that Jesus gave up all his riches, all his things, all his power to come down to be a sacrifice for us? He had nothing in this world when he was here, and he left with nothing. And that's exactly what he wants you to be. Nothing in this world that God would be exalted. That's our stand. That's not Satan's stand. He doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to realize that you can, if you just work hard enough, you can be. God doesn't want you to be somebody. He wants you to work for somebody. He wants you to know somebody. Amen. He wants you to know God. Amen. Know him. Believe in him when you have the rains of discouragement come. Know God when the floods of deception come. But then he tells us about here that, and beat upon the house. It said, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. Now, we got a little bit of wind in our neighborhood, not much. I had Melissa take some pictures because I've been watching on TV all the damage. You know, now in the coast, they had some real damage down there. But still, people blow it up out of proportion. I saw some video that Tony sent me and some on TV and stuff about Rockport. That's one of our favorite places to go fishing and stuff. And I hope your boat was okay because we need to go out on it. And if not, go by and buy another one. No, I'm just kidding. That's kidding. But they had some damage, not a lot of damage, but it's funny how, you know, some houses were standing and some didn't. And I'd be a little mad about that. It was mine, because those houses are supposed to be built to withstand hurricane winds, and some did and some didn't. So somebody either took a shortcut or got ripped off. But anyway, their house was the stilts and stuff there, but they had some damage, but it's not a complete disaster. And they were interviewing some guy on TV last night. We were watching just one of the residents that was evacuated. And he was talking about, oh, there's nothing left for Rockport. It's all gone. I'm thinking, I just saw the videos. You got about six houses that are demolished, and the bunch had some damage, some trees and some other things. It's not gone. It's not like it, like it's not on the face of the map anymore. Go look at where Sodom is. That's gone. Go look at where Gomorrah is. That's gone. When God destroys it, it's gone forever. It's not coming back. Now, they had some damage down there, but not that much. So because they try to, you know, make those pictures like, oh, it's horrible, blah, blah, blah. They put it all over the national news, and, you know, they try to take photos. I told Melissa, said, we're coming here to take photos of the things that are wrong so we can send it to our friends and family, see all the damage that we had. So we went down 78, Roy Richards 78, and they had a railroad arm was broken half. So I said, take a picture of it. Take a picture of it. We're going to send it. Then we came out here, and it had a couple of twigs on the ground. So take a picture of that. That's wind damage. And I'm going to send it to all our friends. Look at this. Look how much damage. No one wants to hear about that. But wind, not only is rain discouragement, and Satan uses that, and Satan uses deception and the floods, but Satan also uses disaster in our life. Winds can cause a disaster, and it doesn't take much. You know, people don't realize the power of wind until they're in the midst of a hurricane or a tornado. Then they realize, I didn't know wind could do this. And it can get pretty powerful. And wind can bring disaster. When wind blows, does it come from underneath? Never. Does it come straight down on you like rain? No. It comes right at you. It comes right in front of you. It comes straight at you. It's strong. It's powerful. Sometimes it's overwhelming. It's devastating. And when Satan uses disaster against you like he did in Job, and he took away his family, took away his sons and daughters, took away all his cattle, took away all his servants, took away all his income, took away all his health. When it came at Job, it came as a disaster in his life. Straight at him. Overwhelmed him. Overpowered him. And when Satan brings disaster in life, it could come in financial disaster. It could come in physical disaster. Satan has a way of bringing just disaster to you and thinking, this is way too much. I just can't bear it. This is too much for me to bear. But God's word says he'll never bring anything you cannot bear. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. He's not going to let anything happen to you he didn't already say he could happen. That's why I look at it. You know, yes, we have to take precautions, and we have to be ready, and we have to and prepare. But if you know God and you believe God, you can also trust God. And when disasters come, we need to trust God. That means you don't know why it happened. You don't know why God allowed it to happen. But you do know this. God allowed it to happen. As a child of God, nothing happens in your life, unless you cause it, of course. But no disaster comes in your life. It comes straight at you and takes you on and overwhelms you and targets just you. Nothing like that happens unless God had to allow it to happen in your life first. And if God allowed it to happen, he wants the glory from it, and we ought to just say hallelujah. But disasters are difficult because we're getting wiped out. It wasn't just something that crept up on us. It wasn't some rain that fell upon us and some discouragement stuff. No, it got wiped out. Our finances are gone. Our work is gone. Our job is gone. Our future is gone. Our home is gone. Everything is gone. It doesn't exist. Job couldn't get his family back. Job didn't get his finances back. Not until much later after it was all gone. But when we first saw it, he knew he lost it all. And all he could testify was, naked did I come in this world, naked will I leave this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's hard for us sometimes to do that because we love the things we have. And there's no reason why you can't love your family, your jobs, and the things you have, but just never put your love for that over God's love and realize he gave it to you. He can take it away anytime he wants. And if he wants to take it away, it was for his glory and for our good. And we ought to just still praise him for it. But Satan doesn't want you to do that. Satan likes to bring disaster in your life because he realizes that if he could just bring disaster, you'll curse God. That's what he told God about Job. When he first started with his family, his servants, and his belongings, bing, 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 bing. He said, well, if I take away that, he's going to curse you. If I take away that, he's going to curse you. If I take away this, he's going to curse you. Then the last one, he says, well, I take away his health, he's going to curse you for sure. Because Satan knows human nature. But he doesn't know the child of God. And a child of God will trust the Lord no matter what happens in his life. I want good to happen to all of us all the time, but it ain't going to happen. I'm just telling you right now, you can pray for it all you want. And all these people that pray for prosperity and health, you know, they're wrong. That God never promised you prosperity throughout the rest of your life. He promised you the complete opposite. Persecution. Yeah, it starts with the letter P. Persecution. You missed it by a few other letters instead of prosperity. He doesn't want you to have everything you want to have. That's the devil wants you to have everything you want to have. God wants you to have what he wants you to have. And if that means a little bit of discouragement, well, we can take it up and believe God that he can bring us through it. Maybe we're going to get hit with a little bit of deception. That's okay. We know God. We know his word. We know that's not true. We can just blow Satan off. Forget that. I'm not listening to that no more. I know that's not true. I know his word. I know what it says. I know that's not true. And then when he brings that disaster and it comes straight at you, remember, we can trust God through it all. Doesn't matter how horrible it seems like it's going to get, and no matter how much you may be hurting, we can still trust God and know it's all going to work out one day. We may not like it. Bible doesn't say we have to like it, but it does have to say we have to trust God through it and know that he is on the throne. When the weather changes in your life, and Satan has an opportunity to use his tools against you, what are you going to do? I hope you'll just believe God, learn of God, know God, and trust him more every day. We know Satan's demise. We know his future. Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He has his punishment. He has his future, and we have ours. As children of God, we know we're going to be with him, reigning with him forever and ever and ever. And these little things that happen, the storms that come up in our life, we can deal with them if we'll just trust God. Know him more every day and believe that God's never going to lie to us. He's only going to be faithful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer just for a few moments and ask God to help us this morning to trust him more every day. I don't know what he brought in your life, but it's possible that during these last week of circumstances that your faith may have been tested. Maybe your thoughts and mind were in disarray. But maybe we ought to just confess that to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry I had so little faith, so little trust. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure you ever gave your life to Christ, and you don't know that when you die, you will be in the presence of God, if you have any doubt about that, you need to say today, Lord, I trust you as my Savior. That's where it all starts. Call upon the Lord and he will save you today. Trust in the Lord. Whatever it may be that God's speaking to your heart about, there is a decision he wants you to make. And we can all know what that is if we'll just listen and do what he says. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. I ask that you'll bless us now. Be in the midst of each person, each heart. And I pray, Father, that we'll make the decisions that will honor you and to glorify you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we pray together, if you have a need you'd like to come to the altar and pray about, please do so. Just step out and let God have his way. Maybe there's something you want to come talk to me about. I'm here for you. Maybe you just want to pray where you're at. Just spend a moment in prayer and just ask God, what would you have me do today, Lord? And be honest. And he'll tell you, and then you got to do it. Let's pray. Keep praying together as she plays, just for a moment.